That's the problem. All right, amen. Well, here we are on the second to the last week of our church business year, 2027. Next Sunday will be the last, and then we click over to September, and that's when we click over into 2027 business year. And as we look forward to this new business year, 2027, starting in the month of September, we need to look back at the past challenges to our progress and realize how we can overcome each challenge so that you can go forward for the Lord. In the midst of the chaotic waves and storm-tossed sea of life, many of you are sailing in your little boats. And thankfully, if you're saved, we know the Lord is on board in your boat. And you should be looking for His encouragements along the way, and also, you know, for Him to direct you forward in 2027. In fact, you should be looking forward with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And I had the privilege to do that this week. Jesse and I went out and we got to lead 8 people to profess faith in Jesus Christ on Thursday night. But the question is, how can you keep going with your mission when you've got a strong enemy, Satan, and he's stirring up his helpers to put all these mountains of obstacles in your path if you plan to go forward and walk with God and serve God? He'll put these mountains in your path. And I want to help you this morning to deal with that and not to be deterred by that. So please take your Bible and turn to Zechariah chapter 4. There's Matthew, New Testament, first book, Malachi, last old, Zechariah, back up one from Malachi, one book before the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. And I believe here is an answer for you how you can go forward when you seem to have insurmountable mountains in front of you this morning. And perhaps you're feeling that way as we go into the new business year. Now here the prophet Zechariah was preaching the word of God to a remnant of the people of God from Judah. And they had been devastated by the judgment of God and the chastening of God and were 70 years captive in Babylon from 606 BC to 536 BC. And the emperor Cyrus was raised up in Persia to give them the release from the Babylonian captivity. Now, Zechariah is a young prophet, and he is ministering along with a more seasoned prophet by the name of Haggai. And they were preaching to the leaders of the people of God in Judah to help them do what we're talking about this morning, to face the mountains of obstacles in front of them and to do the work of building God's house. And they preached God's word to tell them how they could go forward. Now, they had had blessings. They had had Cyrus. They had had money. They had had help and provision to do this building of God's house. And they started to go there in 536, and they were working on the house of God. But things came up. Problems came up. How many of you are facing some problems in your life? Yeah, financial problems, could be physical problems, could be sickness problems, family problems, spiritual challenges. And once they had begun building, they were forced to stop building their temple. And they were stopped by a decree from their enemies who went to the Persian emperor, the new emperor, and slandered them, and he said, stop. Stop building the house. Once that happened, they realized, hey, we can't go on. We can't build the house of God. So God stopped us, you know. So they just relaxed, and they started to build their own homes, and they started to get into their own life, and they didn't think about God's work and his plan for them coming back. And they just kind of got complacent. You know what? It's easy to get complacent, especially if you have battles in your Christian life and obstacles, and you just think, well, I'm just going to kind of pull back from this. It's too much. And the Jewish leaders of this group, you know, they led about 50,000 Jews to come there and do the work of God, and they started the work of God, but now these obstacles stopped them. And perhaps they thought in their mind, and I believe they did think in their mind, now listen, I believe they thought in their mind, you know what, it's not time. It's not God's time to build the temple. We thought it was. You know, we got the provision, we got the money, everything seemed to go. We started to build it, but it's not God's time. And so they left off building because they were forced to stop. And I'd like to look at this situation that we're talking about here, and I think about what I just went through recently. You know, we launched out to buy a bus when the bus prices got so high. We couldn't afford it, and it wouldn't be wise. And so we bought a bus, and we bought another bus. We bought two buses. Our second bus for Brother Matt's bus route, the Carbondale bus route, we got that bus and invested quite a bit of money in it, and then it leaked. It leaked radiator fluid. And every day they had to fill that thing and fill that thing. And finally, one day, the cap was left off it, and it blew the engine and destroyed the bus. And all that investment was gone. And how difficult that is. But we prayed, and there's a guy that had a garage, and he said, I can get you a good bus. It'll last for 10 years. And we got a gold coin and turned it in, and folks gave money toward the bus, and we went out and voted and launched out and got the bus. On the first week of picking up, the brakes went on the bus. And we took it to the garage that originally helped us get the bus, and he said, yep, it looks like you blew two brake lines. So we said, get it fixed. This week, get it fixed. And Saturday I went out bus visiting on Matt's route, and all these people are coming. It was such a great time. And the guy called me up and he said, can you get me two big cans of brake fluid? I said, sure enough. And I got the brake fluid. I bought it to him. And he's working on it, and we're praying, and I'm going home, and after all day, I get a phone call, and I see his name on it, and I said, I don't even want to answer this. I know it's trouble. I know it's trouble. I answered it. He said, well, there's some bad news. He said, it's not the brake lines. It's the cylinder inside. And I said, well, why don't you take the cylinder from the old bus and put that in? He said, well, I'll call the boss because he's the mechanic. And he called him up, and he never called me back. He said, I'll call you back. And so finally I texted him, and he showed me a picture of it and said, that's a 10-hour job. We can't get that done. So I had to tell Matt, call everybody and tell them we can't get it. And you know, when you go through those kind of disappointments, you just kind of think it's like a boxer. You get knocked down and knocked down, and I'll just stay down. I won't get back up, because if I get back up, I'm going to get hammered again, right? You ever feel, how many have ever felt like that? You know, I just don't want to get back up. But there's a danger in that, because you can come up with a conclusion, well, God just doesn't want us to keep pursuing the bus ministry. And then we get complacent and just say, hey, we'll just let it go. No problem. But I was driving in today, and I remember there's a young person I talked to, and they were all excited about Miss Diane's Sunday school class and maybe winning something in class. And I pulled right over, and I said, hey, I'll pick you up and bring you in my car. I got the person and brought him in, looked for another young person. Yeah, it's easy to forget. I was talking to Eric Rodriguez, and he told me he was overwhelmed with discouraging thoughts, thinking about his brother at 21 years old, you know, passing away. And he said, I was hit with these thoughts, Pastor, this week, and discouraging. He said, I went out to get the mail, though, and I saw a guy out there, and he said, I just thought he needs to hear. And I got my track, church track, gave him a church track. I took a church track, and I started to ask him the questions and read through the gospel. He said he used to go to the church, and he knew how to be saved. He was saved, but he's going through problems. He said, I just felt so good, though. I got out and shared that. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan doesn't want you to do. He wants you to get discouraged by the obstacles, by the mountains in your life, and to not want to face the challenge. You know, Matt teaches a Sunday school class called the Challengers class. And Matt went with the class Friday to Knoebels. What'd you have total with Steve and everybody and you? 9 people. They're all there at Knoebels, you know. And Matt was up on the top of the roller coaster. And that big old roller coaster. What's the name of that thing? The Impulse. The Impulse. Did you go, Josue? All right. So they're on the Impulse. And Matt said, are you up for the challenge, right? And they were. They were up for the challenge. I know Brother Steve was up for the challenge. He was all excited. And they called me. The class called me. And they were so excited to tell, Pastor, we're here. Well, I ask you this morning, are you up for the challenge?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Well, amen. Goodbye. Take your Bible and turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And here we have this young prophet preaching. And remember, you got an older seasoned prophet. What's his name? Haggai. And you got Zechariah. He's the young guy. And Haggai, so one's in their 70s, one's probably in their 20s. And I'll read what Zechariah 4:7 says. He says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, that's the governor of Judah that God had called, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. And then just a few verses later, he said that same Zerubbabel that's going to, you know, we got a building out here. It says 1886, the cornerstone of this building is laid. And there's a time capsule in this building and all that. But he said Zerubbabel, the same guy that started it and built the headstone, he's going to finish this house of God. He's not going to just start it. He is going to finish it. But it didn't seem like that at the time when this is written, because this big mountain was in his way. It was called the government, and they said, you can't build. And the people said, we can't build, and they quit. You know what? I love it when there's obstacles and people say, Pastor, we can overcome those obstacles. Rather than, oh, I'm glad there's obstacles so I can just retire and do my thing now. My name of my message is God's Grace for Your Challenges in 2027. God's grace. The world is against your Bible and the gospel that you preach. Satan is so powerful, and he is really trying to hinder us from going forward. I believe that in the bus ministry, in the Sunday school, in the soul winning, in the Christian school, in the college, and in the church. And perhaps you're thinking I should just lay low and not put myself out there and draw too much attention to myself and just kind of retire a little bit or semi-retire. Listen. I don't know how the bumblebee flies. It's aerodynamically impossible, but it does it. And that's what you and I need. Notice what God says to his people when they gave into the forces against them and they just started to surrender to the obstacles. He says over there in Haggai, the older prophet said, is it a time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, that's God's house, lie waste. You know what I think of Brother Joe His wife broke her leg in two places, and Brother Joe's face and thing. And he's been working in the ladies' bathroom with Brother Elgin Gano. And when Elgin's in New Mexico, he's been working in the men's bathroom. Temporary inconvenience for permanent whatever. And I'm just saying that there are challenges. I looked at the building fund, and it's in the red, $6,000. And that's a financial challenge that we face. But you know what? I believe we're going to get that bathroom done. I believe we're going to make progress. And I believe we're going to bring that building fund back in the black again. And I just believe that. But there's challenges. And we just talked about the bus ministry and the challenges with registration in September, whatever expense this is going to be. And there are challenges. And if you're not careful, you could say, well, let's just back away from the bus ministry. Slow it down. Let's just back away from building and build our houses and not worry about the bathroom not being finished and the bills not being paid. I don't believe that's right. The prophet says, is it a time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? God says, I've got the answer for you this business year. You need to get up on your feet. You need to get back in the fight. You need to face the momentous challenges and stand up to that mountain. It's a huge mountain, but you need to stand up to it. Here's what it says in Zechariah 4:7, the first part. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? You see, you might ask this morning, well, how am I going to overcome that mountain or those mountains that are in my way, Pastor? They're very real. Notice the word, and this is what we're going to talk about, that's repeated in verse 7 two times, and it's the key word for you to get back up on your feet and for you to have the faith to go forward and to do God's will and to do God's work and keep going with it. And here it is, chapter 4, verse 7, and the last part of the verse says, grace. It says, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Let me say that word, grace, grace. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to win. That's how you're going to overcome. That's how you're going to defeat enemies stronger than you are. That's how you're going to have success in this Christian life. Grace. And let me say, number one, God's grace is given you for your challenge concerning salvation. You know, I talk to people all the time. They've messed up their lives in sin, and they've hurt their lives and messed their lives up. And you know what Jesus taught in a situation like that? The self-righteous people say, you've got to straighten your life out. You've got to turn your life around. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. And all that is well and good. But Jesus said to those self-righteous Pharisees, you need to read where the scripture says God desires mercy and not sacrifice. You see, God's grace begins when your human effort is at a standstill. God's grace takes over when you cannot climb that mountain and you cannot burrow through it, and God shows you mercy. And when Jesus healed people, they did not go on a healing rehabilitation thing. No, they came to him just as they were, and he healed the leper immediately. He made the dead to live again. He made the blind to see. They came to him just like they were. And I am saying, when it comes to being saved, Jesus will meet you when you come as a sinner and you realize, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I deserve to suffer for my sins. I deserve all that I'm getting. But then you trust Jesus. What does grace mean? It means being given what you don't deserve. In fact, being given of just the opposite of what you deserve. And I'm happy to tell you this morning, chapter 4, verse 7 of Zechariah says, how you can overcome the challenges is grace. Getting what you don't deserve. Getting what you haven't earned. And getting it from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it doesn't mean that God looked and found Noah was the best person. No, it meant that God had to show somebody grace and save somebody. And he decided, Noah, you're going to get my grace. If you've come to Jesus, then you can know God's decided, you're going to get my grace. And I have made you an object of my grace. So don't think it's surprising when you're at wit's end. Don't think it's surprising when you come up against a mountain and you can't move it. And that's how I got saved. I came up a mountain of my sin. I saw the mountain of hell and that, yes, that sin had to be paid for. And I cried out to God. I didn't know the answer. And then God gave my grandmother to tell me how Jesus died for me. Paid the price in full and gave me his grace. And as a 17-year-old boy, I got God's grace. Listen, if you're up against it and you realize that you cannot save yourself, but you're not saved, I invite you this morning to receive the free gift of Jesus Christ as your Savior. God's grace is given for the great challenge, the impossible challenge of salvation. But secondly, God's grace is given to you for the challenge of your sanctification. Sanctification means you're set apart to God to be holy. And you say, how can I be holy? Pastor, sin has a hold on me. Sin is powerful. Sin is in my life. It's very strong. Well, I'm here to tell you the answer for salvation is grace. The answer for sanctification is grace. Your salvation, given by grace, is what David said in the Psalms. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or charge iniquity. In other words, God said, I'm not going to charge your sin to you. The more I live, the more I realize what a great sinner I am. The more I realize that I deserve hell. But it amazes me and astounds me that God has blessed me and said, I'm not going to charge your sin to you, Mr. Bloom. I'm going to charge it to my own son. I'm going to take heaven's best and your earth's worst, and I'm going to charge heaven's best, my son, with your sin, so that he's going to be beaten. He's going to be spit upon. He's going to be treated as the greatest sinner that ever lived. That's called imputation. All of our sin being imputed to him and him suffering and dying for it. And then he was buried, but he rose from the dead. And when you believe upon him, his perfect righteousness is put to your account, and God treats you as though you are perfect. That is salvation by grace, right? But not only are you given that, but you died when Christ died. Not only he died for your sin, you died with him to that sinful life. And you were buried, and now you're raised to a new realm. You say, well, I fall and I mess up. But yeah, you still fall on top of the mountain. When you fall, you're in the airplane. You don't fall back to the ground. You fall in the airplane. You're way above the ground. You're in Christ. How? By grace. And that is the way for you to live a holy life. You say, how do I live a holy life? Act what you are. Be what you are. If a mouse comes in here and I scream, ah, mouse! And I jump under the pew, I'm acting like a woman. You say, how can you say that? I've seen it. I married it. And, you know, if that mouse need to be dealt with or whatever, you'd say, act like a man. Because I am a man. Act what you are. That's how you live a holy life. You remember who you are by grace. You're in Christ, and now act like it. Live like it. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You say, well, how can I overcome it? I had a guy one time tell me, he said, I could not overcome smoking. He said, I just kept going back to the cigarettes. You know the guy, Marlene. You know all about it, right? It was your husband. And he said, I just want those cigarettes. And he said, you know what he did? He said, because I'm in Jesus, Lord, I'm going to ask you to take away the urge. The urge. Remember that? And God did it for him. And one of the ways you can take away the urge, the Bible says, is instead of getting to bed at 2, 3 a.m. at night and being on that internet, flee fornication. Because if you're not around it, you resist what you can't, you avoid what you can't resist. God can take away that. And he gives you his counsel. I'm talking about God's grace for your sanctification is given, and he provides that. And Pastor Ware used to say in Philippians 2:12, it said, God worketh in you both to will and to what? Do of his good pleasure. And Pastor Ware used to say, the same God that gives you the will to overcome sin will give you the ability to do it by grace. That is God's grace for your challenge concerning your salvation, concerning your sanctification. And God's grace is given to you for your challenge of service. You know, I remember being called to preach. And I remember being afraid to be a pastor because I thought, look at all the things pastors go through. Look at all that they suffer. Look at all the attacks that they have from the world, the flesh, the devil. I don't know if I want to be in that place. I mean, that's just something I don't want to do. Plus, I don't like to stand up in front of people and, you know, speak. I'm kind of introverted, you know. How can I do that? And then I remember our pastor was away, and he said, I want you to preach. And I started looking in the Bible. I looked in the Bible, and I was looking in Joshua, and these words jumped out of the page. You've heard me say it before. Joshua 1:9, it says, here's God. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. Here I was a young man, shy, afraid of all the attacks, and I can't do it. And God just showed me what I told Joshua is all you need, one thing. You need me with you, Joshua. If I'm with you, God in one is a majority. I'm talking about grace. You have mountains, physical mountains, financial mountains, service mountains. And if you're not careful, you're going to get complacent and just say, oh, good, pastor's saying we can't do this. Oh, good, I'll just go to sleep. No. God's grace will help you face whatever challenge you have. You have your own. I have my own. And you're going to face humanly insurmountable challenges. I think of Becky Pugh. I want to say Steinruck. And Becky has had a lot of challenges. And I've watched them. And I've seen God's grace help her to keep going. And just recently she had one about a car, and God helped her with that. And it's just like one thing after the other. Just these insurmountable problems. And God's helping her. He'll do that for you too. Don't quit. Don't turn away. Don't give up. I'm talking about God's grace for your service so you can keep serving God. And God says, I'm with thee whithersoever thou goest. And every day, as long as you're available to do his will, to serve him, he will help you. Yesterday, I felt like, oh, man, God, you just... But get this, I felt it. But I knew in my heart I need to give thanks for this bad news. And I said, God, by faith, I give you thanks. I don't feel it. You know I don't feel it. But I give you thanks. Because it says in everything, give thanks. Maybe friends turn away from you. Maybe people fail you. Give thanks. Divorce, like Jesse's going through. Abandoned. Treated wrongly. Give thanks. Don't be complacent. And thank God Jesse's kept serving God. Right, Bonnie? Kept going. And I am proud of him and the Lord for doing that. I'm talking about the Israelites, though. When they saw these problems, God gave them the land. God brought them supernaturally over the Jordan River. But they, the spies before all of that, they went into the land and they saw how good the land was God promised them. And they went back to Moses and they said, oh, the land is beautiful, but we looked at ourselves and we're like grasshoppers. God's grasshoppers reporting to Deuteronomy. You ever feel like a grasshopper? Just like you're going to get squashed by your problems? Well, you know, that's just a matter of perspective, because God said, yeah, there are giants, but I will take care of the giants. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by these things. The word dismayed means to be stripped of your courage. Yesterday, when this happened, I was like, when I got the wind knocked out of me, the first time, and I said, God, I need to get my courage back. I need to get my strength back. This really is knocking me down. I'm tired after this. You know what? It didn't take him long. And by this morning, I knew I'd need to preach this message. I'm saying dismayed means to be stripped of your courage. Have you been stripped of your courage? You can get it back. Job learned to say these words by faith, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I've had to say that more than once in my life. The Bible says even when you're dying, and you guys, the pastor passed. Even when that happens, it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not sickness, death, none of that can. He still loves me. There may be a cloudy sky, but the sun is shining behind the clouds of whatever you're going through. Don't be stripped of your courage. And of course, Satan just wants that. And he wants you to curse God and die. You don't want to do that. And God comes through. Here's what he said in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Do you believe that? Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I don't care how weak you are. Think of Jesus on the cross. He was so weak. Satan was laughing. The Pharisees were laughing. His enemies were laughing. It was Wednesday night coming up, and they were laughing. They put him in the grave, and they were laughing on Wednesday. But like Brother Heil's message, Satan, don't forget Sunday morning's coming. Sunday morning's coming. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Satan's smile will be wiped off his face when he's thrown in the bottomless pit and tied up there for 1,000 years. And still he'll fight on until his smile is permanently wiped off when he's thrown into hellfire forever. But you mark my words, as sure as I'm in this pulpit, that day is coming. And I'm saying to you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because of God's grace you can stand. And let me just read verse 6 and 7 again of Zechariah 4. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." He was the leader. "Saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, it's when you're weakest, that's when you're strongest. It's when you are feeling like this is insurmountable, that's when God says, "My grace is sufficient." Diane Payone, she's got physical problems, lots of them. But God just keeps giving her grace. I see it. You know, your weakness is a showcase for God's grace and his help. And that is what this is saying to us today. And so God's grace is given to you for the challenge of salvation. It's given to you for your sanctification. It's given to you for the challenge of serving. And finally and lastly, it's given to you, God's grace, for your challenge of success. How many of you want to be a failure in life? No. How many want their children to fail in life? No. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a child of God. Is he rooting for your failure? Sometimes you feel like it. Job felt like it. Like, where are you, God? But no, I think of Job, he said, "Oh, that my words were written in a book with iron. It was written in a book." Well, they are. They are. And Haggai 2:4 says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." You know what I want to say to you as we go into 2027 for your success? Be strong and work. Say, where do I get my strength from? Right here. By the way, keep coming to church. Hear the word of God. Play it back during the week when the devil whacks you. Always, Bobby, do you come Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday?
Yes.
Do you come Thursday?
Yes.
He does. He does. He could make excuses. And he's always happy. He's a blessing. He's a blessing. Right, Jose? He's a blessing. You are, Jose. You are, Jose. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. And I'm waiting for you to get that haircut, too. You get that, like Christian back there. All right. And now in Isaiah 40, 30, 31, I'm going to give you a verse. It says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall" what? "Renew their strength." Mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. How do you get your strength back? You wait on the Lord. And how do you wait? Just sit there and no. You're like a waiter at a table. What can I get you? What can I get you? And then you go back to the kitchen and get the food. And you get what God has for you and give it out to others. And that's how you wait on the Lord. And he then gives you what you need to keep going. I'm talking this morning about God's grace for your challenges. And he has that grace. It's repeated twice here in verse 7. He has it for salvation. If you realize you can't save yourself, it's a free gift. Reach up and take it from Jesus. Do it today. Do it right now. While you have the opportunity. And how about the challenge for sanctification? What about that besetting sin that's been bringing you down and bringing you down? How about saying, "God's grace, I'm going to put it away. I'm going to lay it aside." How about God's grace for your service? You're being hindered. How about saying, "God, I want to serve you and I'm not going to give up." And that you might have success. The Bible says this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. That's what he wants for you. Don't believe the devil's lie. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning. Every eye closed. And I wonder if you say, preacher, I